Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 95. Yes, 95. Barrington McIntosh. Now, before I jump into Barrington's story, because it's a great story and this segment's really great, I do want to talk about episode 100. That's my big goal, to get to 100, and I can't believe it's going to be here in the next couple weeks. And my 100th episode is Chris Green. And Chris and I have already been chatting. We've hung out a lot this year, a lot last year. But, you know, I want to talk different things with Chris, because I think his story is so well known, and so some of the challenges to figure out what to talk about, right? I don't want to just talk about merch. I don't want to just talk about, you know, what's upcoming, that kind of, you know, the stuff that you would expect anybody to do. I have a lot of really good questions, and I'm really excited to talk to Chris because he's an open book and he will say it like it is. The other thing he's going to do is he's kicking off something pretty cool on my podcast, and so I'm really excited about it. So that's June 2nd, I believe, is the date that it comes out. It's episode 100, coming up pretty soon, so keep a listen out for it. And I just, that's my 30-second commercial on it. Should be really cool. So anyway, Barrington McIntosh, I don't want to take anything away from him because he is amazing. In this segment, we spent quite a bit of time talking about where he's been. If you've noticed, he's been away for a while. He's kind of fallen off the face of the earth for a while. And there's a reason. And what's very cool, I mean, it's very cool that he could. That's really the story. Why he took off is, you know, it's alarming. But the fact that he could, and this is the second time he's needed to do that, and he credits this business. And in his positive, just a terrific way and terrific delivery, I mean, he's just so encouraging. So get ready to get encouraged. Barrington McIntosh. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is not a surprise. I don't think of a person that wouldn't know Barrington McIntosh as Mr. International in any possible way. You're just so visible. Welcome, Barrington.
Thank you for having me, Stephen. It's been a while, but we finally get on the podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been, I've been busy. You've been crazy busy. I mean, I get busy, but you are really, really busy. And I've been chasing you for a while. And actually, I think we talked last year at CES and just couldn't connect. And then things happen and then life happens, right? In your case, life has happened. So we can talk about that in a little bit too.
Definitely.
But let's talk about, you know, I want to go back because I love your story, and I know a lot of people have heard it, but there are a lot of new listeners too. This is big on iTunes and a lot of new people. I want them to understand, you know, the perspective of where Barrington comes from. You know, you were not an e-commerce seller by any stretch. You chose that, and or it chose you. Maybe that might be even a better way to say it. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get started?
Well, I went to school in Palm Beach, Florida. I went to high school in Jamaica, then went to college in Palm Beach, Florida. And I always thought about it. I need to do something that will allow me not to be on that 9-to-5 wheel. And I'm thinking, well, what can I do? What can I do? And, you know, then my aunt, she was given a glass fish for a gift. You know, those little fish, and it's made of glass, and, you know, you could put it, you know, inside your living room or whatever. So she said, do you think this has any value? I'm like, well, you know, I could put it on eBay and see if it sells. I put it on eBay, started at 99 cents, and voila, sold for, I think it was $80-something, and that was it. I was like, you mean you could put something online and it could sell for this much money? I was ecstatic. That was it. That was the start to online. Then I knew
there was
a click. More.
Oh, it just clicked. So there was like, wait a second. I have something that most people would put at a yard sale, right?
Right,
and be happy if they got a buck or a quarter or whatever, right? And yet you put it at – now, why would you put it at 99 cents? I know that was the old auction way. I just interested to know. What would have happened if it sold at 99 cents? You would have been like, okay, lesson learned. I would have moved on.
Correct.
And you might never have pursued what you've been able to accomplish.
Correct. I mean, I don't know what happened with that auction, but then – afterwards, somebody told me it was signed by a famous sculptor or something like that. I, okay, I probably could have even gotten more, but then I was
very
happy.
Cool. Well, you know what? The market spoke at the time, and to me, that's the beauty of those auctions, right? Is that, you know, real buyers know, and they know what they're looking for. That's very cool. So did you start selling more items while you were in college? I mean, did you start with the textbooks or any of that kind of jazz?
I did. I tried, you know, eBay with a textbook, half.com. So as soon as, you know, my semester finished, I would, you know, upload them onto half.com or eBay. And, you know, it started to do well. And I'm thinking, there's something in this. And then afterwards, I had to move back to Jamaica. And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be back home in Jamaica. Can I do this from an island? Which overwhelmingly everybody said, well, oh, it's not going to work from here. But I'm always the guy that tell me I can't do something, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So came back to Jamaica. Obviously, you know, to get started, to get back on my foot, I had to go get a job, you know, the real job, the 9-to-5. And then, you know, started doing that. And I think it was 2010. I got Jim's Proven Amazon course. And that was really a game changer for me because, you know, to figure out that you could actually send your products from Jamaica to a fulfillment center that is world class, that Amazon will do customer service and you only pay $39 a month and they hold your products, collect, and then send you a check every 2 weeks. That was the game changer for me. And then it was just things started to happen where, you know, I spoke to Jim. We did an interview. It's now on provenamazoncourse.com. And afterwards, I started to speak, you know, at different events, and life just totally changed. And I'm still doing this right from an island. I'm actually looking out at palm trees right now.
Nice. I don't see palm trees. I see clouds where I live. A little colder here. Well, but you sold on eBay for how many years from Jamaica?
It was like a little over a year or so, because then it was more difficult with the shipping.
Right.
Yeah, from here.
Right, but
going,
shipping, plus you had a full-time job,
correct,
and you have a family, right?
Correct.
And so those limits, right, that time, that return of investment of time, probably wasn't worth it, right? I mean, there are lots of other side hustles you could do. Didn't you do something with cars at one time too?
Actually doing that right now, that was more while I got in start on Amazon. And then I'm thinking, wow, my brother lives in Tokyo, Japan, and I'm doing online trade anyway. So I moved into purchasing cars from Japan, having them shipped to Jamaica. And now I have a dealership on the island. So it's...
No kidding. So that's real large arbitrage, right?
Yeah.
You can, you know, but that just shows that skill set that you've learned, right, that started back when you sold the glass fish,
yep,
is transferable.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
We had a little discussion before I started recording, and we were talking about computers, right? And Barrington's degree is in IT, and I always say that, you know, that's such a great advantage because, you know, you see the advent now, there's a scraper a day coming out, right? Somebody figured out a way to get into the database, and they're just pulling out tons of data, you know, arranging it in a fashion you can use and doing that. That's a big advantage. But I often say that anyone younger than probably 35, 30, has grown up with computers their whole life.
Yep.
And that is a big, big competitive advantage. That's why so many people are buying these scrapers and stuff, because they don't have the skill set to do it themselves.
Right.
I mean, you know, and that's true and that's fair. For me, I mean, you know, we didn't start using them until we were out of high school pretty much, you know. So it's interesting. So you have done a lot of things in the e-commerce world, and you've really scaled up an enormous amount. And I'm interested, what's your why, right? I want to start there because I think your why is a great story about lifestyle. And so I think that's important to talk about too in the beginning.
Oh, definitely. My why, you know, we have four kids, and my third child, my daughter, Anna, she has, you know, she was diagnosed with low muscle tone. So when she was born, we noticed that she wasn't making, you know, all the different stages. She wasn't meeting all, like at 8 months, she was supposed to be already walking, and, you know, that wasn't happening. So we're like, oh, what's going on? We took her back to the hospital, and then they told us, hey, you know, she has low muscle tone and, you know, would have to do occupational therapy, physical therapy. And, you know, that's the depressing news. That's like, boom, you know, you get hit with a ton of bricks. But then, you know, what's even more is when I came back to Jamaica, I had to go to a 9-to-5. And then she had a seizure. And I had to go to ask my boss, hey, can I get some time off so I could go to the hospital to make sure that she's okay? And, you know, when I got back the next day, my boss said, hey, make sure that yesterday you weren't just pulling a fast one on me. And it really resonated with me because I'm like, no, I have to figure out something that will allow me the time and the flexibility that if there's anything wrong with any of my family, my daughter, you know, my father, anybody, I can be able to pull away to go take care of the important things, because that's the why. That's why you work. That's why you try to get a house. That's why you make sure that things are set for them, because of family. And based on that, this business has really given me the flexibility to do that. I mean, for the past year, I've actually been off of, you know, being full time on Amazon, because my father had a stroke and, you know, we've had to make sure that everything is going well, myself and my sister, in terms of financially to take care of all of his needs, and also to get somebody at the house to make sure that he's okay. And also my daughter, she's doing much better now, but she still doesn't talk. She's nonverbal, but she uses her iPad. And those are things that, you know, make you really see your whys. You're like, yeah, this is why I work. This is why I do what I do, because I can get time to focus on the important stuff. I don't have to be worried that, hey, I got to go to work today. I can't take her, you know, to her appointment, or my wife is not going to be able to do this for her today, and I'm, you know, I have to go to work. It has really given us the flexibility to really focus on the important things, which are family. And I just love this lifestyle in terms of this business.
But there's no better example. So, you know, again, I want to break this down again, because, you know, originally your daughter was, challenged there. And so you wanted that flexibility, right?
Correct.
You're not going to be held to anything. And that happened, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Years ago. And I remember you talking about this a couple of times. I've seen you speak.
Right.
And it's a very emotional thing, but it's so, like, you know, because it's like, cool, that's a guy who's a dad. I get it. He gets it. But just recently, you know, the reason you and I haven't been able to get together, actually, I think we were scheduled for an interview, and that day your father had this stroke.
Right.
And we had to reschedule. And I remember, though, and you kind of disappeared for a while.
Came off the grid.
You came off the grid, and it's been a while. I mean, it's been a while, and yet you still have an income coming in.
Yep.
You still have a business, and what would have happened? You know, you're working that 9-to-5 job, and here's a guy who took off a bunch of time for his kid. Now he's back, and his father's sick, and here he goes taking off again. Right? That wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have been able to do it. I mean, it just wouldn't have happened. And to me, that is the beauty of what you've created, is that you have purposefully figured out your why, and you have purposefully positioned yourself to be able to handle these situations when life happens. Because guess what, Barrington? Life happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I just think that, hope people get that lesson again, is it's not the money. You know, you need X amount of dollars to live. It really is the living that matters the most, and you're a perfect example. And to have it happen twice in your life, where this thing that you created, this foundation that you built, allows you to do that, I think is just an amazing story. Because, you know, it's going to happen to all of us in some way and someday.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's correct. And I mean, if anything else, I want persons to take away from this that, you know, always think about your why. Why am I doing this? Why do I want to get off that 9-to-5 wheel? Yeah, because of family, whether it's my, you know, my son, my daughter, my mom, you know. And if somebody's sick and you're, you know, you're gone to the hospital and they're thinking, okay, well, surgery is going to be X amount of dollars. Oh, where am I going to get that? It's that comfort zone, knowing that, okay, you know, whatever it is, I'm able to take care of that. And also, you know, because that would have just been a struggle, thinking, oh, my mom has to go through this by herself. She's not working like every day. So it's going to be really hard, because, you know, my father was the one that was always out there working and everything now would be falling down on my mom or my other, you know, siblings. But to be able to be in a position where I can say, okay, we'll take care of that. Medication needed? Okay, we're going to take care of that. It's really, you know, focusing on your whys and executing along that line. And, you know, it's definitely something that I focus on all the time. So if anything else, I'd love persons to always think about your why. Why am I doing this? Why am I, you know, staying up all night making sure that this is in place and setting the foundations?
Well, and I want to talk about that. Well, I want to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the way to build that foundation, because I think that's another great example. You're a great example with that, you know, and we could talk about some of the stories. I just think that that foundation is critical, and I think you've done a great job. So let's take a quick break. We'll come right back.
All right.
Hope you're having a great 2016. We know we are. It is a great year. Second quarter, looking pretty strong. We're in shoes and clothing. We think you should be too. If you are thinking about it, look at yoursourcedinventory.com. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. We're members. Listen to these stats. March, average shoe rank 7,290 with a selling price of $89.42. Now think about that. That high selling price is where you're going to benefit. $31.40 profit, 80% return of investment. That's incredible. Clothing. Average clothing rank was 8,966. Average selling price, $46.06. Again, you don't have to sell as many items to get that profit. Average profit, $16.99. Almost 17 bucks. That is a great deal. 94% return of investment. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. Think about getting that clothing list, that shoe list sent to you 5 days a week, once a day. Take advantage. You'll grow your business as much as we have. YourSourcedInventory.com. Thanks. All right, I told you this. He is so exciting. In this segment, we spend a lot of time talking about business. And, you know, remember, he lives on an island in Jamaica. And yet he has a worldwide business. More worldwide than most every other person I talk to. He's selling on 4 different platforms. Amazon.ca, actually 5 different platforms, Amazon.eu, Rakuten, and eBay. So he is experienced in the international business world. The fact is that he's selling from Jamaica. There you go. There's international. And so take advice. Think about what he's saying, what you can do. And again, most of the time, it's going to be the same thing Chris Green will tell you. It's taking action. And I just think he does such a great job at it. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Barrington McIntosh. He is Mr. International. He is based in Jamaica. That voice, that dialect you hear, that is Jamaican. He is from Jamaica, but he you'll see him around. He comes to the U.S. all the time. He'll be speaking at CES this year again, right? This is what, your third, fourth year?
Fourth year.
Probably fourth year in a row. And he is a international seller, but an international expert. He has a course on international. He has built his business because, let's face it, I mean, I don't think there's an Amazon in Jamaica, is there?
Nope, there's no Walmart.
Nope. So you're not selling Amazon in Jamaica, so you have to be international.
Definitely.
True story. Okay, so let's talk about foundations, right? Because I think you've done a great job. You had a great year last year. You have an amazing year this year, but it didn't just happen, right, by accident. So can we go back and talk about, you know, new sellers, maybe they're selling a few thousand or 10,000, 20,000, and they're trying to build that foundation. Where did you start and where would you start now?
You know, it's funny looking back at how we started, because a lot of persons, it's, okay, retail arbitrage. Okay, I'm going to go to the stores and purchase. But it was kind of funny we started. Yes, we went to the stores, but it was briefly, because I always thought, if I could go to the store and pick something up for $10, that means if I could find the wholesaler, maybe I could get it for $6 or for $5. So I was
so smart.
Always thinking that way, just even right off the bat from the beginning. But the most critical part of this business is building relationships. You will hear me say that a million times plus one, because that relationship, those business relationships are like a currency, and that's the foundation that you want to build. Because when you start off with one wholesaler and that guy's like, hey, my products are flying off the shelf. I don't know what this guy's doing, but he's awesome. I'll give him a credit line. I don't know, you know, what they're doing, but they're buying a ton of products from me. He's talking to other wholesalers who will then look you up and say, hey, why are you moving this guy's products and not mine? We're selling the same thing. And that's another relationship form. That's another line of
business. Has that happened to you?
All the time. All the time.
And so by being fair to them,
yep,
right, keeping your word, do you beat them down for cost, price?
It's really that unique selling proposition. When you go into someone, as again, you're building the foundation. So thinking, building that foundation, you're going to put up the walls, but you're building those foundation. And it's always about, okay, we build a relationship. What I am to this company is like their marketing arm. Hey guys, you don't have to pay for marketing. I'm over here. I'll market your products. I get it in front of millions of buyers, not only in the US, because we sell worldwide. We sell in Canada. We sell in Germany. We sell in Spain. We sell in France. All over the world, we have a presence. And we're doing that right here from an island, so anyone can do it. And once we give them that unique selling proposition where we are going to be your marketing agents, we're going to protect your brand. If anyone says something negative about your brand, I am the first one to get an alert, because we have created Google alerts where if somebody says, hey, I don't like this coffee because whatever reason, it's going to come to me first. I jump right on that. I'll figure out the order number. I'll say, hey, what was your problem? And we'll fix it. Whatever we have to do to fix it, we're going to fix it. So we're building that foundation. Now my vendors are happy. My manufacturers are saying, hey, this guy is buying a ton of products from us and he's protecting our reputation. Oh, you can't get better than that.
So that is an extra step that I doubt most anybody is taking, that reputation management. So you take that responsibility on when you take on a brand.
Correct. Correct.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. You guys heard that. Write that down. Create Google alerts. Very simple to do, to deal with it. So when somebody says, hey, this was, the date was no good on it or whatever,
correct,
you can go back and deal with it. And do you reach out to them, to that customer?
Yeah, definitely. Even if I wasn't the one that sold the product,
I'll
talk to the customer to say, hey, listen. And what we do is after building that relationship, we form exclusive arrangements where we're like, okay, we're going to be your marketing arm online. So, you know, I want to have an exclusive arrangement that I'm going to be the one to sell your products. And they're like, okay, well, we'll sign that agreement. We'll also have that agreement. That means if anybody else comes on your listing, we can, you know, you can send them that letter because we are giving you authority to do. And that has led us into, I mean, right now I have more opportunities to purchase inventory than I know what to do with. Because once you build a foundation, you build this great foundation, you, as it were, you make sure that you are talking to your suppliers. You're telling them, listen, I'm protecting your reputation. It's not.
And they know you sell online, right?
It.
They know your whole deal. They know you're in Jamaica.
Correct.
They know you're selling on Amazon. They know you're selling on Amazon.eu. They know you're selling it on .ca. They know you're selling it on Rakuten. They know you're selling it. I don't know whether they would know you'd sell it on eBay, if you would sell it on eBay. But they know that. You're up front with them.
Correct. Up front.
You're
with
an e-commerce seller.
And they know that. And what happens is when they get to their conferences or their manufacturers, you know, conferences, they talk about it. Hey, you know, I have this guy that's moving a lot of my products. And then what do you know? A couple, you know, weeks later on, you get a phone call that, hey, I carry the same line of products. Would you be interested in moving our products? And then, you know, the beautiful thing is Jim always talks about this. It's relationship, building great relationships is like currency. Because now you don't have to take any money out of your pocket to purchase inventory. Because they know your skill set. They know what you can do. They're going to give you a line of credit to move their products. And what happens is you're able to send all these products directly from manufacturer to Amazon's warehouses. Products are sold. And then when you get paid, you make the payments to them minus your commissions or your profit off the top. It's a beautiful.
And you've never touched the product.
Never touched the products. I mean, initially we started, but we've never touched the product since because we've built that foundation. We've built that system to say, hey, three emails. I spoke about this at the first CES. Three emails is all it takes. The first email is from Amazon saying your inventory alert, you're down to 100 of this particular product. The next email will be going out to my manufacturer. I need to replenish this SKU for 700 in quantity. The third email comes from Amazon. We are receiving your products. And it's an automated process. It continues whatever SKU it continues is the same process.
So let's talk to the people that are out there running store to store doing, I always pick on poor Target end caps, right? Scanning the clearance, right? And I think there's merit to that because I think that you have to understand products. You have to understand the markups and all the rest of that stuff. I think that's a great exercise and you got to do it for a period of time. Plus it's fast turning money. However, to build a sustainable kind of, you know, well, a lifestyle business like you do, that when life happens, which it will, you were able to absorb a month and a half offline. I mean, you basically disappeared to take care of your family situation, yet your online presence with your business never moved, right? Never changed. And so would you suggest to someone that they really, you know, that's great that you're doing this other thing, but if you really want to decide your why and you figure out that you want to create a real sustainable business that can be go forever, that you really need to find this concept, figure it out, work on it, master it with one, then replicate it and replicate it and replicate it.
That's it. And that's where focus comes in. You know, focus on one thing until successful. Once you do that, it's like you're building this nice highway. It doesn't matter what kind of car you have. You'll be able to drive that car on the highway because you fixed all the potholes, you got everything straight. So you build this nice foundation, you build this nice highway, and that is that relationship that we continue to build with all these suppliers, all these vendors. And a lot of times, persons start out with, you know, they're going to stores, which is great. I mean, we do that at the end of the year. During Q4, we'll go up, and it's exciting because you get that rush and you find great items and all of that. But then you need to add. You need to be able to add different ways of, you know, acquiring inventory. So if you're doing private label, if you're doing wholesaling, if you're doing, you know, anything else that you're doing, consignment selling, whatever you're doing, you need to add different ways of procuring inventory. And that helps you to build a system. And when you have a system, if Target closes down tomorrow, that's okay because you already have all the wholesalers that you need to have and you're going to be able to deal with what you need to do. So I always tell people, figure out what you love to do, and then find ways to build a system around that. Once you're able to do that, then you'll be able to live what they call the internet lifestyle, where you have things rolling even if you're not there. You take yourself away from the process, and you still have things rolling.
I could just hear people say, though, that what you're describing is very hard to do. It's very hard to find that one wholesale account that, first off, accepts you as an e-commerce seller. Second off, allows you exclusivity. Mm-hmm. Third, sends it directly into Amazon for you. Is that true?
It's not difficult. You know what? Let me give you a scenario. Okay. I've been doing retail arbitrage all the time. But guess what? I always walk into this Walgreens store. And you know what? I struck up a conversation with the store manager. There is a, you know, beautiful item that I found, you know, on the end caps, and it looks like they could get some more. And I said to the manager, do you guys have any more of this particular product? Like, sure, we have, you know, cases in the back. What, would you like to purchase more? You are building a relationship with the store manager. And that is someone that can order in wholesale quantities for you. So it doesn't have to be this big vendor like you're reaching out to, you know, Toys R Us or any other big company or big vendors. That wholesale relationship could be with a local store in your neighborhood. Don't overlook the gold mine that's right in your eyeball because you're going out to look for, oh, I got to go find a wholesale company. These could be persons or stores that are right in your neighborhood that you pass every day and you would never think, I go in, I buy there all the time. Why not ask, hey, if I buy, not five, but if I buy case quantities, would you be able to extend any price cuts to me or any discounts? And you'll be surprised that you start to build those relationships. And then from there, you could get all the leads. Hey, you know, or rep for whatever is coming over today. Maybe you want to talk to them and they'll tell you what's happening. And it opens so many doors just by asking. You have to ask the question.
And isn't it true that the next time they're bringing a product to market, they're coming to you first?
Definitely.
Because, you know, you've proven that you can do. I was with Liron Hirschkorn in New York, I guess a week or 2 weeks ago. And he went to one show before I got there. And there was a vendor he'd met in Vegas. And boom, had a relationship already established with them, bought more product from them, was the first to say, hey, I know you like this. I got more of this. Oh, and I have this. That happens. That happens every single day. But it is work, right? I mean, it's work. So if you put your attention there, I think one of the challenges, I think, you know, and you mentioned a bunch of different methods. There are. You can retail arb. You can online arb. You can wholesale. You can private label. You can do bundling. You can do all those different things. You can do merch, and you can do – You can write books, ebooks, and all that. There's a lot of different
ways.
Things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them work for someone. Maybe they don't have to work for you. I think you've got to narrow down your focus and master it. I think you had a good description with focus. Say that again.
Focus on one thing until successful. And that's really the meaning and bottom line of focus. But you know what's interesting? A lot of times, you know, I do coaching and I help persons saying, oh, you know, it's difficult to do this, you know, retail arbitrage, or this online business will never work. Or I have so many people coming in my store looking at what I'm selling, and then they go sell the same thing and everybody brings the price down. It's like you're looking at the glass half empty or half full. Look at what we did. It's just the attitude that you take to, you know, doing what you're doing.
So give me an attitude. Give me an example. So that example, right?
Perfect example. Okay. Let me give you an example. We had a wonderful product doing excellent for us. We were selling at least about, you know, maybe $10,000 to $15,000 of this one SKU per month. And then voila, sales drop off. We're down to $4,000. We're down to $2,000 a month. And it's depressing because this was your bread and butter, because you are selling a lot of this product. Do you know what we did? And this is something that, you know, for listeners, we want you to write this down. All we did was we went into that guy's store and we saw what he was selling. And we said, okay, let's look at a comparable product. Oh, wow, he's selling this product. And all we did was we looked at the, because, you know, Amazon gives you the pictures so you can see the back of the product. We, you know, looked at the back of the product and saw manufactured by whatever company. And this was not even in the U.S. This was a Guatemalan product. And we called that store in the manufacturing Guatemala. And we're now their top representative for their products on Amazon, because we were able to just go do reverse engineering. Just look at the back of the product, manufactured by name, website, and telephone number. Everything is there. We call them up. We say, hey, we'd like to test quantities. And then afterwards, we started to buy from them. We are now one of their top sales representatives on Amazon because of just looking at something that would be a negative, and we turn it into a positive. It's all about the attitude, the mindset that you have. And you have to, you know, gather around persons that have that growth mindset.
So foundation-wise, do you have another block that people can invest in? I the networking is critical. I mean, I think it is the first thing, and I think that was your point. It really does have to be first. And I think you're absolutely right. And it's not only networking with vendors, it's networking with other sellers. I think, you know, your example of, well, let's talk about the MMA, right? You're with a group of, they're all men, just happened to be, I pointed it out the other day. But it just happened to be, you guys met at CES or whatever, and you guys have been together for how many years now?
Since 2013, so we're going
3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. 3 years, still together.
Still together.
Still working together on projects and that's a big deal, because that says something about it. I said that to Ryan Rieger. It says something about the group. The fact that you guys can stick together means that you're trusted. You know, as Chris Green always says, you're going to get one chance to cheat, because you're not going to get away with it again, right? And so there's trust, there's respect, friendship. It's really worked well.
Definitely.
Would you credit that with part of your foundation?
Correct. It's forming that mastermind group of persons that are going to hold you accountable. We see that as a critical building block to the foundation. And, you know, I mean, the hard work went in, and now, Stephen, we have residual income out of that, you know, partnership. We have residual income of like almost $55,000 per guy per year, that it's automated. Everything, all the processes for that is automated. That's apart from Amazon selling. That has nothing to do with Amazon selling. That's just, you know, different things that we do together, or, you know, groups online. That's it. And, you know, we look at that as, wow, it's a testimony to the power of building relationships and forming groups. Because when, you know, one guy, I'm good at international or multi-channel. Ken will be great at, you know, selling shoes. Other guys are great at private label. And we all get to pick each, you know, individual's brains. And we're like, okay, we can bring a little bit from him, a little bit from him, and apply to our business, and our individual businesses explode. Otherwise, you know what's funny? I did not know that you could sell toys on Amazon when I just started out, because I was selling groceries. I had no idea. But then I met, you know, one of my best friends now, Lance Wolf. And he's like, Barrington, you know, toys is awesome in Q4. Had no clue. First Q4, I did about 37,000 in toys that I had no idea. He didn't know you could sell groceries online. So just that interchange of knowledge, just because of knowing him and interchanging, hey, this is what I do, this is what I do, I was able to add another revenue stream to what I was doing every year. And it was just amazing. And now, I mean, Lance is going to get married in a few months here in Jamaica. And, you know, I'm going to be in the wedding. It's just building those relationships. I can never talk, you know, more highly about making sure that's a part of your foundation. And also, you want to bring your own creativity to Amazon selling. A lot of times, you know, you have newer sellers, they get frustrated. Oh, you know, I see all these guys posting online and they're doing this and they're doing that. Don't worry about what others are doing. Look at that as motivation for you. Now you're seeing it can be done. That is
right. I think it's a frame of reference. It gives you, hey, you know, X is selling, you know, $5 million.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that means it can be done.
Correct.
That's a proven, that proves that it can be done. Now, do you want to make the sacrifices it takes to do that? Is that your why? Then go for it, because you can do it.
It can be done.
But then again, you know, you don't, you might not want to, but I think it gives you that frame of reference, because I always think, you know, you see all these numbers and you know, I get to see behind the scenes with what I do, and these are amazing people working so hard, building, right? It took you how many years to get where you are? That just didn't happen overnight, right?
Correct.
And the other thing I would say is that you put yourself out there. I think that's another foundation piece that needs to be included in that, is you're not only getting from other people, you're giving to other people, right?
And you know what? That leads off into pretty much, you know, one of the things that I always look at, as this is something that, you know, it defines me. The Bible in Luke 6 and verse 38, it talks about practice giving. And that giving doesn't have to be, oh, I don't have an extra $100 to give away. That giving could be you're giving someone advice. So maybe you see someone struggling and they're like, hey, I can't figure out how to do these Amazon reports. And you give up your time to say, hey, I have a few minutes. I can show you how to do this Amazon report. That is genuine giving, because you're not even looking for anything in return.
You're giving without expectation.
You're giving without anything. You're not like, well, I'm not looking for anything in return. But then you will see that person come back to you and say, hey, do you know that because of what you said, I was able to, you know, put food on the table for my family? Those are the things that really mean something to me, because I always go to CES and, you know, persons come up to me, and this one lady came up to me and she said, you shared a tip on Spreecast. And I was really depressed. I was thinking this Amazon thing couldn't work. I think it was something about a Kitty Beat drum set that I shared. And that's something I could keep to myself. Well, like, hey, this is a great selling skill. I'm not going to tell everybody. But I, you know, say, okay, let me just, I'm going to give this out, because somebody just needs a little bit of motivation. It's like you're selling that confidence. And she was able to really do well. And she called me. She saw me at CES and she said, you know, you helped me to put, you know, food on my family's table. That's what it's all about. It really means something to you because you're able to help. So as the Bible says at Luke 6:38, practice giving. And that has to be the cornerstone of, you know, building your foundation. That's something that should be a part of what you do, no matter what it is. Sometimes you think, I don't know anything, I'm not an expert. But just something as simple as, hey, do you know that I can, you know, bring these boxes down by using this particular tool, or I can take off the labels by using this particular tool so that, you know, it's not going into Amazon with all these stickers on there. You'll be surprised at how many persons didn't know that. And you're thinking, oh, that's nothing. You know, I've been doing that forever. But sharing, giving of your time.
All right. Here's another one I want to go to, because you guys just had your conference, the MMA conference, and Ryan talked about it, what a success it was. But CES is coming up, right, in September.
Correct.
And it's another great conference. What is the power of conferences? You know, we've already talked about the power of networking, but let's talk about the power of conferences and meeting other sellers that you might only have a conversation with, but you're not going to, you know, you might not hang out with them, but you're going to have a conversation. Talk about the value of those kind of things.
You know, it can never be, you know, overemphasized. The value of conferences are super powerful. You know, when you think about the Amazon business or the Amazon lifestyle, it's very lonely. A lot of times, person will be like,
yeah,
what are you doing? Aren't you going to find a real job? And you get depressed because you're like, geez, nobody's, sharing my successes. Nobody really cares about what I do.
Yeah, try to tell that at a party. Their eyes glaze over. They roll back, and they're going. They're talking in the corner. There's that guy who's going to talk about his business again. Run, run, run. He's like, Amway, get away.
Because we know when I tell people, hey, you know, what do you do? My boss, it's an interesting story. I was talking to Jim, and Jim said, it's going to be very interesting when you're telling your boss that you have to quit because, you know, this is not paying you enough. And I had that conversation with my boss. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, handing in my resignation. He's like, no, I'm going to give you some more money. And I'm like, no, I've already made up my mind. I want to go spend some time with my family. And he's like, okay, so what are you going to do? I was like, well, you know, I'm trading on Amazon. It's doing well for me. He's like, you're serious? You're going to leave a good paying job at the power company to go sell on Amazon? I mean, you got to think about the benefits. You got to think about, you know, your family and all of that. But then I already looked at it to see that, hey, this is something that has been making me more on my salary for the past year and a half. So when you get to conferences, you get to talk to other persons. You get to share, hey, how have you been doing FBA? Is there anything unique that you do? And sometimes, a lot of times, you know, you're there as a speaker and persons are like, oh, this guy knows everything. No, I don't. And you have to remain humble because you could sit at dinner with someone and they share something that you're just like, wow, I didn't know you could do that.
It blows your mind, right? You've been beat, or I like this one, where you've been beating your head against the wall trying to figure some out, and then you just say something to somebody, and they're like, oh, just do this. And you're like,
what?
Really? You know, and my eyes roll back, and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so stupid, because all I really had to do was reach out to that group.
That's it.
And I could have saved how much, right?
And persons, don't worry about, oh, it's going to be so expensive to go to this conference. Think about it this way. If you had to give someone, let's say, $1,000, and they're going to show you how to make your Amazon store sell $50,000 or $60,000 a month, would you do it?
Yeah,
that's
without a doubt.
About conferences. It's like, without a doubt, I'll write that check because I'm going to pay $1,000 and then I'm going to be able to make $60,000, $70,000 a month gross. Okay, I'll write the check because you see the return on investment. So that is the way you look at conferences.
Yeah, it's an investment in yourself, right? You need to invest in yourself. You know, think about, you know, if you're an accountant, you get CPEs, right, to keep your license. Lawyers have to do CPEs. Teachers have to do CPEs. Continuing professional education, right? They have to. It's a requirement. Why? The requirement is there to get you sharper, keep you active, keep you up on things. So I agree. I mean, I think the best conferences I've been to are the best things that have happened to me at conferences are the 2 a.m. discussions, which unfortunately there are many of those, and there might be an adult beverage involved. But it's those discussions when, you know, there's no pretending. You know, it's real, and you get to talk face to face. You could see the reaction. You could tell when somebody's buffaloing you, right?
That's correct.
That's so important. And let me tell you, I just was at a conference in New Jersey at ACE Conference, an amazing conference, the greatest group of people. And I made it a point to meet every single person that was there because, you know, they took the time to come to that event to hear me talk. I was one of the speakers. And I just think that hopefully I brought them value, but they brought me more value by getting to meet them and hearing their story. To me, there's nothing but value in those things. And if you take advantage of it, my other piece of advice to people, if you're going to go to a conference, don't go sit in the back like it's church. Go up front, shake people's hand. You know, I tell, you know, people want to tell their story. So you walk up to a Chris Green, and who is just the greatest guy, and you could talk to him. He's a real guy, and he loves to talk, and he loves to tell his story. You walk up to a Barrington McIntosh. He is approachable. He is not, you know, just a speaker on the stage. He's a real guy who has a family and who's, you know, got, you know, challenges just like everybody else, and you could have that conversation, and that's how you develop those relationships.
And I always talk about that because Chris Green was here. I just saw him 2 days ago.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Yeah, you guys are hanging out. He's in Jamaica, and he's hanging out with the Mr. International.
And it's so amazing. I'm telling you, if anyone ever thinks about, oh, Chris has a product, this guy is so full of information that he gives freely. He gives freely. Sometimes people wonder, hey, you give away such good information. You should be charging for this. But, you know, I'm sitting there, and we're talking, and then he's just like, hey, Barrington, this is the idea that could be the next big thing. And we just talk about something that once you execute on it, because you could always talk about ideas and all of that. And one thing I want to tell persons about conferences, just going back to the conferences, when you go to a conference, you're going to be overwhelmed with so much information. Mm-hmm. Pick the top 2 or 3 actionable points and go and take action on them. Because if you hear everything and you're like, oh, this is awesome, this is great, but you never do anything, you're going to still be at square one. But if you pick the top two or three things that's going to affect your business and you go back home and you execute right away, you will be amazed at what happens.
That's great advice. And I love the fact that you saw Chris. That's developed a real friendship. Again, that's the power of the internet. You're in Jamaica. He's in up in outside of Boston there. I mean, this is, your world's apart. Yep. And yet you can develop that relationship and then you can get to have that conversation. Again, I still say that most people don't want to talk about your business with you. That's why there's a power in these conferences, because guess what? They have the same things going on. These are like-minded people.
Correct.
That's who you want to talk with, because that's going to make you better. It's going to make you sharper. The other thing is to get around bigger sellers, because they have been through a lot of the things that you're going to go through, and they can help guide you through it. You will raise your game when you're around bigger sellers, successful sellers. You will raise your game. It just happens.
No doubt. Yeah. I look at I play table tennis, and from high school, I've never wanted to play just against the guys who I could beat all the time. I'm always looking to play the guys that are like, they're beating me 21-2, 21-3. I'm like, man, I got to 21-10. Okay, I'm doing better. So it's the same thing with, sellers that are more experienced. Get around them. Ask questions. Don't be afraid. Ask questions. Hey, can I buy you dinner? And just sit down and just, you could talk and you could figure things out that you would be like. And then we learn so much going to conferences. People just think, oh, this guy's a speaker. No, I learn a ton. So you got to remain humble and just make sure that you take action on the points that you're really going to affect your business. I can't, say enough about that. You have to take action. That's my tagline. Take action.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it is. I've heard you say it so many times because, again, I always quote Chris. Chris will say less than 10 out of 100 that buys his book will do anything with it. And it's such a shame. Breaks his heart because, he put so much effort into it. Okay, so let's talk about Mr. International, because you are international. You teach courses on international selling. Is international selling still as hot as it was?
It will always be for the next 5 years, I think, because people are just comfortable. Like, oh, I'm selling on Amazon.com. I'm fine. I don't want to do anything else. They don't want to do it. It's the unknown. It's unknown territory. And for me, that's always the challenge. I want to do things that are creative. I don't want to do what the herd is doing. I'm going to do something that's totally different. It's totally off the wall and nobody's doing it. Because think about it. Your biggest complaint is, I can't find any inventory. Your next biggest complaint is, okay, now I've found inventory. Now I have a ton of competition. I see international growing for the next 5 years because it's such an underutilized opportunity. What happens is you have persons who are so comfortable selling on Amazon.com and they're like, listen, I don't want the stress because you have to deal with VAT and you have to deal with international shipping.
It's a hassle. It's right? There's hassle factors.
And that's the hassle that most persons shy away from. But for those who push ahead, they will see the results. Case in point, I had a student that I took through for 4 hours to get set up on the UK, set up their VAT and everything. And this student has 5 SKUs. And he was saying that he's selling like over 40 to 50,000 pounds per month with those 5 SKUs. And he was facing a lot of competition on Amazon.com. And now he's just amazed at the responses in the international marketplace. Because what happens is Amazon now exposes your products to another couple hundred million people in those, in those lands. And you are now selling the same SKU to persons in Germany, Italy, France, Denmark, and the UK, and it's selling like hotcakes. And then you're just like, wow, I need to order more from my supplier. That's all I need to do. So, expanding your business internationally can really be a game changer. You're doing 10,000 a month. The easiest way to double that is expanding globally. And that is what we teach.
Now, you do have a course on that, and I want to be clear about that. It is a paid course, right?
Correct.
The course is, what's the course called?
International Business Express.
Okay. And I'll put a link in for it. But it's a paid course, right? Who would you recommend, what's the ideal, if there is such a person, what's the ideal candidate for a course like that? Is it somebody brand spanking new? Or is it somebody who's been selling for a while, has got down the experience, has some capital, which is what I always preach, that they should have some money, not credit, they should have some money, but have the willingness to push, right? Because it isn't going to be just turn a switch and it's on, right? There's work.
There is work involved. And it's the ideal person will be someone who's already selling. They understand how to send in shipments, you know, how to prep and all of that. And they've kind of hit a plateau in their business where, listen, I can only do 10,000 a month, or I can only do 15,000. I don't know what to do. I mean, for the last 6 months, that's all I've been doing. If you have SKUs that are, you know, you see that they're selling well, you did your research in the UK, you say, wow, this is selling in the UK as well. That is the ideal candidate for expansion, because now you can be selling the same SKUs and, you know, having it shown on Amazon UK, Amazon Germany, Amazon Spain. And you would be surprised, because for every dollar that, you know, for £1 is like $1.50 US or $1.60 US. So it's really something. I mean, we're selling a product in the US and we're making, let's say, $15 in profit. That same product sold in the UK is like $29 in profit. Same product.
No kidding. Now, you're suggesting that you find existing products that are on the Amazon.eu website, not bringing products to market to start.
To start, you can do either or, whatever you're comfortable with. Whatever you're comfortable with. So if you have a new product and you want to bring it to market, that's great. But if you have products that are already existing on the marketplace, then because what happens is the opportunity is so underutilized in the UK, you'll have a lot of people on very, very strong products selling it merchant fulfilled. And you're like, wow, that's an opportunity for me, because I could go.
There's a tip. There's a tip right there.
I could send it FBA and that's it. You would be, you know, clean up the listing. And especially if you get set up before Q4, you will experience that rush that you're like, I don't know where to send my inventory because I'm making so much over here. I'm still selling it on the .com. But you want to diversify your portfolio. So you not only have income coming in from Amazon.com, but you have income coming in from all those five other marketplaces in Europe.
Now you have, you're in what, five or six marketplaces. How difficult is it for you to manage all those?
Not difficult at all. What we do is we have first thing, all of our, because, you know, for Amazon.com, there's an email address. For Amazon.ca, there's an email address. And for Amazon EU, those five marketplaces. So that's like seven marketplaces on Amazon. So we put all the emails that come into one mailbox. So if I get a sale on Germany, it comes in German. Italy comes in Italian. So, you know, we'll figure it out. And then what I've done now is outsourced those processes, because Jim always talks about do the things that you are good at. And for everything else, outsource it. And that's what I've done. My sister works with us and she manages our Amazon UK store. She manages, you know, the .com store as well. So I now have somebody that's very competent, that's handling all of that for me, making sure that inventory is, you know, always there, making sure that the prices are right, seeing if you have competition. She manages the entire process for me while I focus on other things, building relationships. That's the part that I love to do. That's where I'm strong. So I'll go out and I'll find a new vendor, build relationships, and here you go. You have another product, add it to the line, and we're off to the races again. So it's really, you know, focusing on the things that you are strong at. And then everything else, if you think about your processes every week, what am I doing every week? What am I doing every week? Can I outsource that to my nephew or my niece or someone in my family? And then it will free up my time to go and do things that I'm good at, like, you know, purchasing more products or, you know, whatever it is, you know, expanding the business, whatever it is. But focus on the things that you are good at and try to outsource the other things. And you will see a big increase in your bottom line.
Now, in your course, do you help address some of those things? I mean, walk us through the quick version, the elevator pitch of what you're going to do. What could someone expect from your course?
All the pain points are addressed. The biggest thing is this VAT, the value-added tax. Just like sales tax in the U.S., there's the VAT. And the person's like, I don't want to deal with it, which is great. You know, you need to have an accountant or a VAT specialist deal with that. But we walk you through getting registered for VAT. We will walk you through getting set up for Amazon.co.uk and also applying for all the categories that you're going to need on Amazon.co.uk. So you get started. You're up and running. We also help you to get your shipping up and running so you can use DHL or UPS to ship your products from the US over into the UK marketplace. And we also have a Facebook group where we have all these international sellers and they're sharing, hey, this is my story. This is what I've done. This is how this works for me, which really helps you to, you know, ramp up your game. Because I always tell people, get your store ready for the last 3 months of the year. I'm thinking about Steven. I'm thinking, you know, I want to focus on Amazon October, November, and December. And if I do that, I can probably take the rest of all the 9 months off.
No kidding. I mean, it's true. I mean, it really is true. And especially if you have somebody who's taking care of the administrative stuff, that right. just happens, right? Just for having a business, you're going to have administrative stuff. If you have figured that out and you have found somebody you can trust and you put those practices in, I love it. Any other pinch points that you help with?
And also what we do is, you know, we help you to identify products in the U.S. that are low-hanging fruit. Like, for example, there's a grocery item that we buy, and when we're in the U.S., we buy this at the Publix store, Publix supermarkets, for $2. We pay another $3 to send it to the U.K., so that's $5 in cost. We sell that product for about 22 or 23 euros, which gives us a yield of about $15 in profit every time that sells. And the product is so popular that every time it runs out, we get emails, when are you getting more? When are you getting more in stock? And you're just like, geez, it's like you have the problem of running out of inventory, not the problem of, oh, I have too much competition. So these are the things that we focus on, all the little pain points. And then being a part of this international group helps you as well, because then you have other sellers that you can say, hey, I'm doing this way. Am I doing it wrong? Should I do this? So all the questions that we're in there answering questions, also do a monthly webinar where, you know, we just do a Q&A. What's going on in your business? How can we help you in your business? So that's what we, you know, set up for international, because we know persons, you know, kind of like, I don't want to do it because it's too hard. I mean, we set up everyone that came to our MMA conference last month in Dallas, all the persons that I think it was about 16 persons, we got them registered and their VAT set up on a lunch break.
Yeah, Ryan Rieger told me that. He said you literally stood over their shoulder and helped them right then and there get registered.
That's it.
You took away all the excuses. There was no way that somebody could say, wow, it's hard. You're right. Go ahead. Let's answer this question.
Done.
All right, we're going to answer this question. That's huge. I mean, that's huge, because that forces people to move forward again. We're talking about taking action that most people wouldn't, right? They take it back and they say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And next year they'll see you again. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm guilty of it. I mean, I think most of us are.
All of us are. And you know what's interesting? I mean, I have an interesting story. You know, it's like persons are like, well, you know, I can't do this. I can't. You know, we have a UPS store in the U.S. where, you know, we do all of our, when we order stuff online, we send to the UPS store. We'll send all those to John Buller's fulfillment. But when we're local in Florida, we have this UPS store. So we always buy and, you know, we get all these packages from Amazon. So the manager is saying, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, you get all these packages and, you know, the questions are going to come. So I'm like, yeah, we sell on Amazon. And he's like, is there any way that I can help? So I said, well, you know, since you do packing and shipping, maybe you could, you know, help us out with doing some work, maybe, you know, doing multi-packs or bundling. And he's like, sure, I can do that. We have all the, you know, popcorn and all the packing supplies. This has been one of our best assets. And this is also another point of outsourcing. All we do is, can you imagine, it's like a valet service. We go into Target and we go into all these stores in the U.S. We purchase, we have all these bags. We take the bags and drop them off at the UPS store. We go home, we create the listings and send him an email and say, hey, can you send out all of these, put these in 2 packs, 3 packs? And he's done within a day. Done. We send him 700 pounds of coffee in the morning. And by the evening, he's like, okay, I multi-packed all the ones, I put in the 2 packs, and they're all on their way to Amazon. And that is like an extension of our business because of building relationships. Now we just send everything to the UPS store. We order online, send to the UPS store, and they will just go ahead and ship out for us. And this is not a traditional arrangement. This is just really with that particular store.
and let's be clear, because I know another person who's big in UPS and uses them to do their processing also. So I use a UPS store, and his funny story is yesterday they received 2 pallets for me because my warehouse, I work during the day. I have a full-time job.
Correct.
And so I'm not at our place. So they received 2 pallets for me yesterday. They gave me a call, said, hey, Steve, your pallets are here. Boom, went down, processed them.
Done.
We actually processed them this morning, brought them back to the UPS store, and they are gone. And what's cool is he said the same thing to me. He's like, hey, is there anything else I can help you do? Now, you know, when I go in there, they've got 4 or 5 employees.
Yep.
They're not always busy.
There you go.
So if he's paying them already, so if he can keep them, you know, he's already got the space he's already paid for. He's already got the staff he's already paid for. So if he can get another revenue stream that – he doesn't have to touch again. He's got staff that'll do that. That's huge for his business. So he has asked me, what else can I do for you? I have not had him process anything yet.
Oh.
But this arrangement with him receiving goods for me has been huge, because I used to go home and I'd see the boxes stacked in front of my garage. And I bet you everybody listening can relate, if they don't have their own warehouse yet, or they can relate that that's an issue. And you think about somebody taking this stuff, or I'd come home and it wasn't supposed to rain. And then I get home and it rained and the top of the box, I'm like, oh, you're killing me. This took away that whole barrier. And you know what it cost me? It cost me a P.O. box there. That's what I pay.
That's me too. That's it.
I pay the P.O. box. Now, if I had them do any extra services, they pay for it. And every so often, because I still sell on eBay, and when we have something that's really funky, I always think of the Disney globes, right? You ever see the Disney globes that are so intricate? I shipped one. It got destroyed. So now I charge enough money in the shipping, and I bring it to them. They pack it. They make their fees. He's thrilled to death because that's his business, right? I passed along the cost, that relationship he's worked on, and now I get the benefit of. So I think it's a great example, and I think I love the fact that you've found a way to overcome that from Jamaica.
All of this from Jamaica. And do you know what's awesome? This guy said to us, hey, I'm not sure how to do the bundling. I said, okay, hold on. Let me send you these Amazon videos. Just watch them. Just let me know when you think you're comfortable enough to do them. We sent him over the video links. He watched them. You're like, in a day or two, he came back and said, okay, I'm good. I think I figured it out. He has never messed up a shipment. Can you imagine? We're here in Jamaica. And in our group, in our mastermind group, somebody will say, hey, online at Walmart, you can purchase these Disney stuff for so-and-so-and-so. We jump on, we purchase them. We send it to the UPS store guy. He's like, hey, look out for this because it's coming on this day. Here's a tracking number. He's like, okay, I received it. I took off all the stickers and it's prepped and ready. Do you have the labels? We create the shipment, send him the Amazon labels. Then he said, okay. It's on the way to Amazon. He has never messed up one shipment, and we've been doing this for like 2-3 years.
So why isn't he stealing your business and taking and doing that for himself? Because I think that's the fear. That's what people are afraid of.
And I love that question. And the answer is simply, that's not his business model. He does UPS, and all he wants to do is pack boxes and do his thing because that's what he's an expert at. Has no idea or no interest in selling online. I mean, he's like, okay, you're doing that, that's great for you, but hey, I love what I do, send me the business. And sometimes I'm like, okay, so what are your rates? Like, okay, well, I just start 15 minutes for that, or I repurpose this box and I use it to send out your stuff, don't worry about it. And it has been an excellent arrangement for us because this process from small shipments to pallets.
Love it. Now, listen to that advice, people. There is the gold right there. Okay, so you have a course. I'm going to put a link to it because I think it's unbelievable. And I think, I get some people that are, have hit a plateau at that lower amount, and they just want to get past it. And I think in some cases it is because, I always say you're stuck at the end of Target scanning that clearance, which – don't get me wrong, you can make money at it. But remember, that price is going to decline all across the U.S., and they're going to come in waves, depending on where you're located. You're at the beginning of the wave or the end of the wave. And you'd rather be at the beginning of the wave so you can make your money and get out. This is a way that you can take something that you know, that you're already buying, that you like, and you can find a way to still make it profitable, even if it becomes the race to the bottom in the U.S.
Correct.
You don't experience with that. And again, there's a learning curve. You have to pay in time, or you pay Barrington to help you get there. It's one or the other, and you could do it. This stuff is all free, right? You're not giving away Barrington's secrets, right? There aren't secrets, right? There's no secrets here, so you don't have to pay for this. Okay, so I want to be clear on that. You could go and put in the time that Barrington's done for a couple of years, and put in the time and figure it out by yourself. You can do that, and if that's your thing, do it. However, if like Mitchell Lipp always says, you want to buy time, that's when you decide do you want to bring in a course. And again, you want to find somebody that you're comfortable with and somebody who you know. And so, Barrington's been around a long time, and I like that, that you've been doing it a long time. Okay, so the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? I think we've given them that foundation stuff. Can you give me one more tip or trick that you think people could go and put into their business, practice, something that they can do to move forward and get unstuck?
One of the things that I've always talked about is, the outsourcing of processes, because I think a lot of persons, I remember we had to move to the U.S. because our daughter needed surgery, and we were there for like a year. I had to rent an apartment, we were there for a year. And, when we ordered stuff and everything came into the house, it was just, oh, you know, it's like you get there and it's paralysis. You're paralyzed with all these
chaos. Bags
and chaos. And you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And, you know, you'll hear all persons say, oh, get a VA and, you know, outsource and all that. It's frightening to tell you the truth. To start off, you're like, oh, I don't want to do this because I'm going to give up control. But if you have just someone like maybe your nephew or some family member that you trust, and you can be like, okay, I want you to put the labels on these for me. You lay out everything and have them put the labels on. That outsourcing of processes that are monotonous, things that you do every day that's eating up your time, if you start to do gradual outsourcing of that, you will see that it frees up your time. And there's a great book, great resource book that I always read and recommend. It's called Getting Things Done. And, you know, when you I purchased that on Kindle. And David Allen wrote the book, Getting Things Done. And that's a great read. It's not that expensive. I think it's like $11 or so, Getting Things Done by David Allen. And it talks about all those things that are on your brain that keeps you just stressed out. If you put those things down on paper, write those things down. Okay, I'm, you know, packing and I'm purchasing today and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And you look at the things that are monotonous and you start to say, okay, if I can take this off my plate and give it to somebody else, you will see how much of your time is freed up and how much more productive you can be just because of doing that. So think of that one nagging process that you can outsource. It's going to be difficult at first because it's so hard for Amazon sellers to let go. I don't want anybody to log into my account. I don't want people to see what I'm doing. But when you get over that fear and you start to really outsource the process, you'll be like, wow. I'm telling you, Stephen, sometimes when I don't check my Amazon account is when I make the most money. Like, you know, I never check. I outsource it. My sister is dealing with it. And I go back in there and I'm like, because the processes are already set up, I'm like, oh, my word, $3,000 today. Man, when I check this account, I never see it. So it's like you build the processes, you build the systems, and then you outsource the process. So it's running because everything is all set up. And that's when you really see things happening because you're doing what you're great at and you're outsourcing the things that, you know, you're not so great at. You might think, oh, I can pack the box the best. I'm the best box packer there ever is. Somebody else can do it way more efficient for a couple of bucks an hour.
Love it. Oh, man. I am so glad that both of us were patient enough to get the time to get together because I just knew the value you bring. It's phenomenal. I just appreciate. I'm glad to hear your dad's doing better. I appreciate the time that you've taken out of your very busy life. I mean that, and I can't wait to see you at CES again this year. Yeah. Look forward to it, and I just thank you again for all that you do. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you so much for having me on, Stephen. And you know, for persons, we do have like. You can find me on Facebook, Barrington McIntosh, or, you know, my website, BarringtonMcIntosh.com. And, you know, everything international and multi-channel, that's what we talk about. So thank you guys so much. I mean, you know, Stephen, thanks for having me on. And for the audience, I always want to remind you guys, this can be done. I am doing this from an island. I don't have Walmarts. I don't have Kmarts. I don't have anything like that. All I have is the desire and the will to succeed. I think about my whys. And that's what I want you to do. I'm challenging you right now. Think about your why and take action because you can listen to all these great podcasts that Stephen is doing. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Stop. Think about it and take action because this works. And if I can do it from an island, all of you can do it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Peace, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, I knew it. He would bring it, and he brought it hard, didn't he? He knew how to close. He is so positive. If you've not seen Barrington speak, it is so worth seeing because that energy and enthusiasm is in every talk that I've seen him give. It's just so exciting to see. Great guy, great family, and a great focus. I think that he is a tutor. I think he's the kind of guy that if you're interested in learning international, he's the right guy for it because he will help you get past the barriers because they're going to come. And getting around them usually is just getting yourself a kick in the butt and getting moving. He'll do that for you. So I just think it's great. I think he's a great guy. Make my last pitch for in this episode for Chris Green's 100th episode coming up a couple weeks. It's going to be a great thing. I'm interested to hear what he's going to kick off because I really don't know, but I'm excited. Again, I have a lot of great questions for him. Looking for some more interviews. I've got a bunch of new ones lined up, but I'm always looking for that interesting story. If you know somebody, just message me. I'm out on Facebook, or you can message the podcast itself at ecommercemomentum.com. Thanks, and take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.